This is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, President Bush talks about funds for New Orleans and minorities want more inclusion in history books. Joining us from our Chicago bureau is Roland Martin, executive editor of the Chicago Defender. Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, joins us from Morris Creative Studios in Massachusetts. And Jeff Obafemi Carr, host of the radio show Freestyle, joins us from Spotland Productions in Nashville, Tennessee. All right, folks, we saw a press conference and a relatively long one by virtue of what we're used to from this president yesterday as he came out and talked about a myriad of things, including his defense of foreign policy and why we should not cut and run, in his words, and why we have to stay the course, Jeff Obafemi Carr. When you look at this president and the kind of defense he put on yesterday, what does this say to you?
Well, it says to me that President Bush is what we would call a tie master, and he's a master of tying things together. He's tied 9/11 to Iraq. He's tied weapons of mass destruction to Iraq. He's tied Iraq to spreading freedom. He's now tying Iraq and Lebanon and Iran. And the only thing that he hasn't tied together is a strong period of low approval ratings with the American people's desire not to be spied on by their government. I don't know what direction we're going in, but if I get the notion that the president is kind of spinning out of control and now trying to at least appear to be the master of his destiny and the master of the American people's destiny. And I think it's becoming kind of offensive and bothersome to people. And it kind of disturbed me to see him all over the place trying to kind of pull everything together in that conference.
Interesting, Roland Martin, because one of the things that Jeff touched on there and the president touched on during his press conference yesterday was the ruling last week that caused so much attention and buzz in Washington, D.C., National Security Agency's domestic eavesdropping program, which was instituted after 9/11. Of course, the president said this, quote, the decision did not give law enforcement the tools necessary to protect the American people, just simply don't see the world the way we do, end quote.
Of course, he's dancing. I mean, yesterday was, what we often call a butt dance, when you're sitting in the chair and someone's asking those tough questions and you start squirming and squirming and squirming. That's what it was. I mean, look, here's a guy who also said, in order trying to defend invading Iraq, well, Saddam Hussein didn't give the order, and no one in my administration ever said that. I mean, he was dancing all over the place, and he is trying desperately to defend what has happened. And the reality is, there's nowhere in the world you're going to find democracy being successful unless it came from the bottom up. You do not go in and just say, well, we're going to put it in ourselves. And so he's dancing all over the place. And it looked pretty pitiful yesterday. It really did, how he was trying to find just some kind of answer to explain away exactly his erroneous and bad foreign policy.
Well, Mary, one of the things that he said unequivocally is that defeat in Iraq is unacceptable because, in his mind, it would give a boost to terrorists, psychologically and physically.
Right, Ed. I found the whole press conference insulting. I mean, it may have been a butt dance or whatever, but I was simply insulted. My intelligence was insulted by the whole thing. The latest answer as to why we're there and why we can't leave is because we're trying to keep Iraq from being a failed terrorist haven. And that's why we're there, and that's why we have to stay there. And that's the latest in the explanations. I mean, this is a new one. I'm not aware that Iraq was a failed terrorist haven before we went there. So my intelligence was insulted. And piecing all those things together, I think it's in part – he had a press conference. It's in part about poll numbers. Some poll gave him 2 points up, a blip up to 42% or something. And it's about the election that's coming up and explaining away everything in the hope that the Republicans can keep the Congress. But I found the answers that he gave were totally insulting to the intelligence of anyone who's watched this. And as for Judge Taylor out there with that opinion that she wrote, they tried to demonize her. I understand how right-wing Republicans do that. They've tried to do it to me from time to time. But you would have thought she was some demon dragged up from hell someplace because she had the temerity to hand down this decision. And it will be decided ultimately by the Supreme Court, but she has a reputation as a good judge. And that kind of demonization and those kinds of answers he gave to everything yesterday, anybody who's followed all of this should have been insulted.
Jeff, what of the idea that this is such a complex issue that no matter what you do, the administration, whether it's this one, previous ones, or future ones, is going to have a hell of a time trying to explain why you're in a particular place, and this is just a different world than we're used to.
It is a different world, but I listen to the words that the president uses sometimes, and it makes me shiver. I think one of the quotes that he said is, if you ever give up the desire to help people live in a free society, we have lost our soul as a nation. And to me, it hurts me spiritually to hear a person refer to a soul as a nation, giving up a desire to help people who want to live in a free society. And you're in America, in a place where you're supposed to be a free society, and you want to eavesdrop on people, and you want to oppress them and suppress them by a domestic program that takes away their freedom in the name of security. So we lost our soul as a nation by doing that kind of thing, and going out and trying to impose the same thing on the rest of the world is offensive not only to the rest of the world, but it's offensive to the soul of the nation. So when I hear those quotes, and then when the quote that you said was very important, I don't want to miss the importance of it. Those who heralded the decision to not give law enforcement the tools necessary to protect the American people just simply don't see the world the way we do. The question in that is, who is we? Because most of the people who herald the decision are free thinking citizens, the majority of the country, who believe that that is offensive. So who is the we in that?
There was all that dancing about on whether there's civil war in Iraq, too, another insult to our intelligence. When in Bosnia, when we had Muslims fighting against Christians and we had ethnic cleansing, we called it a civil war. In Iraq, you have Sunnis and Shiites and all kinds of people killing each other, hundreds every day. And he was telling us, the American people, that now, that's not really a civil war. In other words, things or whatever he happens to think they are, whenever he happens to make up something on a given day, and we're all supposed to act as if we believe it. And then there is the spectacle of the people in the administration with their incompetence. When I look at Michael Chertoff talking about terrorism and suppressing it and what's important, I think about New Orleans and the hurricane and Homeland Security. So you got incompetence and ineptitude and inefficiency and then insult to add to it. I guess that's four eyes, right?
Let me ask this. One of the things, Roland, that we saw, and we're going to kind of come back around as we move to this press conference, but one of the things that we saw during the press conference was the domestic side of this administration's problem. Much of the white hot light now being focused back on Katrina and New Orleans and the Gulf Coast region as we get ready to celebrate that first year anniversary. The president was asked about that, but interesting enough, Ray Nagin spoke last week to the National Association of Black Journalists, their convention there, and his suggestion was that the federal government, federal and state aid to the city has been inadequate and comes with too many rules, he said. There sounds like a lot of finger-pointing. We're going to play a little bit of something that the president said in relation to monies not being used correctly from that region. I'll come out and have you speak to that. Go ahead and play it.
Mississippi removed about 97%, 98% of its what they call dry debris. We're now in the process of getting debris from the waters removed. Louisiana's slower in terms of getting debris removed. The money's available to help remove that debris. People can get after it, you know, and I would hope they would.
Now, Roland, if that weren't enough finger-pointing, one other snippet from the press conference, and I'll have you speak to it. Go ahead, Taylor.
I think the best way to do this is for the federal government's representative, Don Powell, to continue to work with Mayor Nagin and Governor Blanco to get the money into the hands of the people. The money's been appropriated, the formula's in place, and now it's time to move forward.
All right, Reagan says too much red tape, can't get to it. The president says it's there. What's wrong with you people? Use it.
Well, I think, again, you have this disconnect going on. I know of several individuals who have companies that are involved in debris removal. I've talked to them. One of the companies completely left New Orleans because he said it was absolutely pandemonium in terms of how FEMA was organizing it. I would hope that Mayor Nagin, as opposed to simply speaking to black journalists and stating that racism is the reason and also red tape, that he become more forceful and step out there and provide clear examples. Exactly what is the red tip? Exactly what is the holdup? Take people through. If you want to expose it, well, then I think what you should do is you should take these reporters through and say, look, here's the problem. Here's what I'm talking about. Here's a contract. Here are these no-bid contracts where the federal government is coming down on us. Otherwise, all you're simply doing is shouting in the wilderness.
Well, we're going to have him on the program in a week or so. We'll be sure to talk to him about that. My director, Taylor, said that I inadvertently said, forgive the Freudian slip, Reagan rather than Negan. So there you go. All right, Mary, go ahead.
Ed, I've been down in New Orleans over and over again and spend time there and know people there and have lived there. And, in fact, I've watched the debris removal, and I've watched the contractors, and I've talked to people down there. And there are a lot of people who FEMA has given these contracts to who are supposed to be out there removing debris who aren't, and nobody's policing whether they're doing it or not. But I agree with Roland that what Mayor Nagin should do is give some clear examples to the public of how this is happening. The other thing that keep in mind, whenever the president talks about how well Mississippi is doing, that Haley Barbour is the governor of Mississippi, who is his good Republican buddy, and we also have on the public record that people in Mississippi got something like 100 times more money per person for the hurricane effects and the flooding effects in Mississippi that was given to the states. I don't know whether they gave it to the people, than was given in Louisiana, even though the conditions in New Orleans were horrendous. So I think that Mayor Nagin should step up with the facts. But just keep in mind, and also I am in a position where Mr. Bush misstates so many things and mischaracterizes so many things that whenever he says anything, I have to take it with a grain of salt. And I happen to know firsthand that people are out there working, and there are these contractors who are not doing what they're supposed to do, and FEMA still is not doing what it's supposed to do.
Jeff, here's what's most bothersome in all of this finger pointing, and that is the people who still have no home, who are running out of time with temporary housing, who are quite frankly being pushed out of areas that they evacuated to. It still continues 1 year later to be a huge problem, and we should not be lost in the pictures we often see on TV. The New Orleans Saints were on television yesterday, and they talk about the city coming back, but that city is a long way from coming back from what we knew.
It's indeed a long way of coming back. I actually went down to Louisiana to get a family of 21 people out of that destruction and help relocate them here. I keep in touch with them and also keep in touch with lots of residents who live there. And it is a different story when you're there. And maybe I'm a little bit biased because I looked at when the levees broke yesterday and I got a whole new respect for Ray Nagin's and what was going on there. I think he was guilty of, and has been guilty of, basically keeping it real and not being able to hold back the emotion and the frustration that's there. But I think of the picture of President Bush when everything was going on, being somewhere else and then finally showing up and doing a flyover, and the picture of him looking out at the city from Air Force One. And I thought that really speaks to what's going on. It's one thing to sit in an office across the country and make decisions and say that things are available, but it's another thing to be in the city and witness that it's tough for an average everyday person, a resident of the Ninth Ward, et cetera, to try to get back into the place that their home is in when developers and contractors are there pretty much having carte blanche, according to what most people say.
And we should note, when the levees broke on HBO, a Spike Lee documentary in four parts, we had Spike on talking about that with us last week. Roland?
Well, again, I mean, this is where leadership steps up. Mayor Nagin was reelected. Mayor Nagin has 4 years to step up and do something. And again, what I want to see is less complaining from Mayor Nagin. I think he's a great guy. I've met him. He's a wonderful guy. But it's where leadership comes in. And I think it boils down to, what are the people getting? And you have to expose it. And again, you have to show the example. Here's what I'm talking about. Take people around and say, they're supposed to be working during these hours. They're not working. This particular person over here is supposed to be hiring local residents, and they're not hiring them. You can't just sit here and throw out these very shallow examples without being very clear. And once you do that, then the pressure then begins on the president by saying, Mr. President, we were down there, Mayor Nagin showed us, and we can force FEMA and force the administration to begin to answer some questions. Otherwise, all you're going to be doing in 6 months is complaining again.
And Mary, what of the idea of continued help from the community for these people who still have not been able to find a way to get back on their feet?
Well, there ought to be. I mean, everybody should realize that it's still a crisis and that ordinary people on the ground. I was down there at the Dillard commencement, and the black colleges down there, the presidents, Norm Francis over at Tulane and Dr. Hughes over at Dillard, are struggling hard, and the students are struggling hard to put things together. And people in that neighborhood around Dillard, and which was really badly, you know, the whole thing was flooded. People down there, when you look to see the determination of ordinary people who are trying to fix their houses, who are trying to dig out, their old people, young people, people are doing the best they can. They still need help. If there are people who can volunteer to go down and help people dig out stuff, I mean, even if the contractors aren't doing what they're supposed to do, they should do it. And everybody should not let Katrina go away from your mind, or let the people of the New Orleans be forgotten, and not let it to just be something that you think. I mean, the American attention span is so short, and we all understand that. I was sitting on a plane next to a guy yesterday, and I said, oh, Katrina. And he said, Katrina, is a relative of yours something happened to? He didn't even remember that there was a Katrina. So I think that it has to stay in the forefront of our minds. I'm glad Spike Lee has done the movie. And everybody in the churches, people in the community and so on should still be trying to help folks down there.
All right. Well said, Mary. Appreciate it. And Roland and Jeff, thank you, too.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
As always, if you'd like to comment on any of the topics you've heard here on the Roundtable or anything you hear on the program, you can do so by calling 202-408-3330, or you can send us an email, log on to npr.org and click on Contact Us. Please be sure to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.